Most bankers aren't ready to help you until after their third cup of coffee. But with Central National Bank's after-hours service, you don't have to wait for the bank lobby to open to get help. You can contact us from 6 to 8:30 in the morning or from 5 to 10 in the evening, and we'll connect you to a real, live, local person who can answer questions and fix problems 7 days a week. Bank different. Bank Central. Central National Bank. Member FDIC.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This is a Rogue Media Network podcast. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. What's the first thing you'd do if you had an extra hour in your day? Go for a run, take a nap, read a book, show up for a friend? A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find out what matters to you, so you can do more of it. Therapy is helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/365 today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/365.
This is 365 Sports, powered by Sikkim365.com.
Kendall Cowell, college basketball analyst for 365 Sports and Sikkim 365 Radio, joins us on the show. And Kendall, thank you for your time. Of the Big 12's teams that got in, what, nine of them, how many of those are legitimately at this particular time do you feel like playing at a point where they could make the Sweet 16?
I think a few could, and I think maybe the surprising team for me is I think KU has a shot. I think that's probably the team that's most hated on in the Big 12 after the end of the season, some of the injuries they dealt with. If I look at their bracket, I think there's a real shot. KU could not only make a Sweet 16, maybe even Elite Eight Smoky. So I think a lot of the teams have a chance. I think BYU could do it. I think Iowa State certainly. Baylor could do that pretty easily too. So I think those teams kind of stand out for me on top of obviously Houston as all teams that can make the Sweet 16.
Yeah, Kendall, I think particularly Baylor and Kansas got about as good a draw as they could have in the first weekend when you consider everything is. And I know that Kansas to play teams that bomb threes, and that's not what they do. And if Baylor gets to New Mexico, I think, which a lot of people expect, that's going to be a tough one. But I like looking around at where either of those two teams could have wound up, I think this is probably the best-case scenario.
I think absolutely, Paul. To me, Colgate is the worst 14 seed, not only just in terms of you look analytically, but I've watched some of their games this morning. And that does not scream a team that should beat Baylor, even – some of the upsets, and I guess trigger warning for people. Georgia State had a lot of athleticism. They have Kevin Ware transfer in and a first-round draft pick beyond him on their roster. When you're playing them as a 14 seed, that's a lot different team than Colgate, where you know their guys are definitely, as Enterprise would say, going pro in something other than sports. So for me, easily a game that Baylor should win against Colgate. New Mexico's a very good 11 seed, actually favored, I think, by 2.5 points. The last time I checked the gambling lines over Clemson. But if you're complaining about having to play an 11 seed in the second round, you got to beat good teams to win the NCAA tournament. I think that's a great draw for Baylor heading to Memphis this weekend.
Kendall, your thoughts on Iowa State's demolition of the whole conference, really, this past week. But obviously, the big win over Baylor and then crushing Houston in the championship game. Your thoughts on just the way the Cyclones are playing now as we turn the page into this final stretch?
really good basketball from them in Kansas City, Craig. I was at the Iowa State-Baylor game, and you could kind of tell quickly Baylor got off to its proverbial slow start, as the Bears have too often this season. Then Iowa State flips a switch. I wasn't quite as interested in the championship game, given I got home very late from the Baylor-Houston, or from the Baylor-Iowa State game, excuse me, Craig. But just the dominance, I hadn't seen anyone put the cramps down on Houston like that. Houston, even with the injuries they sustained recently, still a dominant team. Iowa State winning by 28. I mean, what a con job by the committee to not put Iowa State as a one seed. I thought a much better resume than North Carolina, analytically much better than North Carolina. But I guess the committee that would put Virginia in the field, give Michigan State a 9 seed, would have no problem telling Iowa State to pound sand. So very strange to me that Iowa State's not on the one line. And certainly the number 8 overall team, I don't get it. I don't know what T.J. Otzelberger's feeling very good. There are jokes online because the Iowa State AD, Jamie Pollard, was on the committee. Maybe he made some people mad in that room, but horrible situation. You really got to feel for UConn. It's the best team in the country. That Iowa State's year 2 and that Auburn's year 4. Just an absolute hit job for UConn. As good as Baylor has it, UConn has a just absolutely, I think, awful draw. One of the worst I've ever seen to the overall one team.
All right, so Kendall, you are who you are, or what your record, or who your record, what your record says you are. How, convince me, Baylor's defense can somehow get better? Like, and by the way, that's in 4 days.
Yep. So, Smokey, I will play devil's advocate out of respect to the show and answer the question. I think the answer would be maybe Baylor figured out something with the zone, much better zone play during the tournament from Baylor in the Big 12 tournament than they'd had earlier in the season. Maybe there's also something to those Caleb Loner lineups where he plays along with Jalen Bridges. Maybe he was Baylor's best player in Kansas City after being probably their worst rotation player during the season. So you get that combo of Jalen Bridges, Caleb Loner. That gives you a lot more length. Once Langston Love comes back, which I expect will probably happen in Kansas City, you've got some more depth. All of those pieces come together, the defense, you get a little bit more hope for. But I made the best case I can for it. I don't believe that case. I think the defense is what it is, as you mentioned, Smokey.
Kendall, is that why the matchups that they have, which would be Colgate, then New Mexico and Clemson, are kind of favorable, because, you know, those teams are not built on defense either?
No, and I think they're very favorable, Paul, because I don't think Clemson or Colgate's very athletic. New Mexico, a lot more athletic, a good team. Would not be shocked at all if New Mexico beats Baylor. I think Baylor will probably be a 1.5, 2-point favorite in that game, so that's not much better than a coin flip. But for what you could get with two of your three teams being not the kind of teams that can put that pressure on you that Iowa State can, that KU can pass the ball around well, that gave Baylor some fits, that Texas's athletic guards gave Baylor this season. Those are the matchups you'd want to have. And I think it does give Baylor a real shot, Paul.
Kendall, I don't know about you. I know the defense has been an issue, but I'm still getting the ringing from the ball bouncing off the rim over and over again from Baylor's shooting the other night, man. Just is that just one of those you just crumple it up and throw it away like in the trash can, or is that something that you have any level of concern about offensively? Just how do you kind of view that coming out of a cold shooting night?
I do view that as some concern, Craig. Baylor, if you look at their losses, and almost all of the Big 12 losses, I think a majority of them, they've only had 5 3-point shots. And so between Jacoby Walter and some of Baylor's other 3-point shooters, Jaden Nunn and Ray J. Dennis, those Bears can really have high variance between their best and their worst. So would it shock me if we're all in Phoenix in 3 weeks? No. But it also wouldn't shock me if we're leaving Memphis in a couple days and Baylor's not heading on to L.A. because that 3-point shooting really is variable. Scott Drew mentioned in his press conference after the selection came out that he, you know, looked back at some of the shots and thought they were good shots. That's kind of the problem for Baylor. Baylor can make really tough shots, but can also miss easy shots. And so if Baylor ends up getting blown out the gym by New Mexico or by Clemson, I think it'll be one of those nights where they go 5 of 23 from three.
So you mentioned Caleb Loner, and I got to tell you, yeah, he made a difference. He gave him a spark. He gave him a little, and I hate to say physicality, but he did play well in the amount of minutes and the points and rebounds and whatever else. And he just kind of threw some bodies around along with it. Why? What was the reason to go to him? Was just Scott kind of just frustrated with the way the team was not maybe bodying people up, or what?
I think that's part of it, Smokey. There certainly was a frustration with the way Baylor had defended. I think there was probably some concern about Miro Little as a freshman turning the ball over a lot more. But I think Baylor had looked at the two bigger guy lineups with Jalen Bridges and Caleb Loner. I'd been told by a staff member that there'd been some internal staff discussions about if they'd missed something with that lineup. And then I thought it was a great sign in the Iowa State game after Caleb passes up so many threes. He takes one in transition, hits it, and I hope that gets his confidence going, because I think he's left a lot on the table not taking those threes. I mean, we've all watched him warm up. He makes them in warm-ups. and he's got to get that spacing for Baylor. So hopefully he keeps taking those in the NCAA tournament.
Kendall, what do you think is the deal with their all-too-frequent slow starts?
Paul, that is the greatest question to assess that I think has no answer because there's not one generic theme to it, right? Like, you can kind of just figure out why Baylor's defense isn't good and point to two or three things and say, yeah, you really can't overcome all of these things at once. It's too many holes to plug on one boat to keep it afloat. But when it comes to the slow starts, I don't really get it, right? They can open in man. They can open in zone. They can open trying to get out and run. They can play more conservatively. They can take only threes. They can pound the ball inside. It just doesn't really seem to matter. I don't know what in the world's going on. You know, Scott Drew's a charismatic guy. They've had guest speakers. They've had the staff speak. They played in the morning. They played at night. They've been in Kansas City. They've been in Waco. I don't know what's going on, but something crazy goes on with these openings. Because I even asked them after the game when they had the open locker room. I went guy by guy and was like, know what's going on with these starts? And they're like, oh, it's just something we got to fix. I don't know. It's the weirdest thing of all time. Maybe this weekend they'll get out to a 10-0 run, but I truly have no answer for why they continue to start so against so many teams.
Kendall, I know we've touched on a bit of Baylor here and hit on a couple of other Big 12 schools. I know you were just torn apart by Oklahoma's absence, though, from the NCAA tournament.
God, please don't ever drive through that state. Don't even get close to it. You will not be arrested. You'll just be shot.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, he's got the folks riled up there in Norman, Oklahoma. But, yeah, I mean, Kendall, I said it earlier. I mean, they didn't deserve it, but, I mean, you pointed that out as well. Have you got nearly as much flack for that as you had for your football opinions on the Oklahoma Sooners?
I have not, Craig. I take it that Oklahoma football doesn't really have much of a fan base. And, you know, one would also say, well, Oklahoma football have much of a fan base when they continue to not win the conference going forward. I've got my bet I made with OU fans that they go 5 years not winning a title. We're now 2 years into that. I don't see their woes changing in the SEC. And I know some people were like, oh, the bid thieves robbed OU. That's really the scam here. OU had no business being the last team out of the field. I thought St. John's had a much better case, but a lot of teams had much better cases because OU did not beat an NCAA tournament team away from Norman. They didn't schedule that well, and then they didn't look that good at the end of the season. I have no idea why people thought they belonged in the tournament. I don't need to, you know, support SEC teams. I don't cover them. I don't watch them, but I've claimed they were frauds all season, and they proved me right, and I hope they have fun not playing in the NIT, which is another rant I could go on that if you're OU and you haven't been in the NCAA tournament now three seasons in a row, where do you get off saying you're too good for the NIT? Mm-hmm. Jerome Tang makes an Elite Eight. He's not too good for the NIT. OU, you belong in the NIT. You should play in the NIT. I don't get this presumption that OU basketball is that good. Buddy Hield's not walking through that door. Lon Kruger's not either. And we'll see how long Porter Mosier stays there if he decides to try and look for another job himself.
Okay, for those that don't understand, your rivalry with the entire state of Oklahoma other than Stillwater or Oklahoma State fans around the state, how did this all start again?
Smokey, it did maybe get a little out of control. I would be willing to come to the table with Oklahoma since they're now in a weakened state. But it started out because when OU left the conference, I just mentioned that I thought OU had a real good chance to sort of go through the goals that Nebraska went through because I think Nebraska's problems have been they haven't really had an identity since they've left the Big 12. And I really pointed out that, you know, Oklahoma does not have a God-given right to be Texas or to be Alabama or LSU wants to go to the SEC. And that Lincoln Riley, I thought, covered up some of their problems the last few years by having generational talent after talent at quarterback. So that was my whole point. OU fans came after me because they expected, you know, they're going to be 2000 Oklahoma forever. They have not been. Oklahoma fans have not apologized to me for being wrong. I'm still waiting for my apology. And I think they're going to have many years ahead to apologize to me.
Well, at least you're willing to come to the table with them.
I am, Paul. You know, I'll meet him in the SEC. I'll meet him in the Big 12. But I'm taking it. I'm probably not going to get an apology when OU goes 8-4 in the SEC. I will wonder if I'm talking to Texas A&M or if I'm talking to Oklahoma. But I think they're going to be kind of the same program there.
Now you're going to get me fired up over here. Now I'm going to start fighting back a little bit. No, Kendall, just for your own safety, we'll move on from Oklahoma now. But eight teams in the field for the Big 12. We kind of touched on Iowa State. Houston's banged up, as you mentioned. We've talked Baylor. What do you feel is, I guess, the of most interest to you, maybe from a Big 12 standpoint, from the rest of the field, whether it's a Texas, a Kansas, a TCU, so forth? BYU.
I think it's, sure, Craig, I think it's KU. And, you know, was that a tough shot at the Aggies maybe, but, you know, the Aggies can buy whatever they want since they just got Nebraska's AD. But to turn to your question directly, Craig, I think KU can really make a run in this tournament. Hunter Dickinson will go. Their first-round matchup, you know, they're freaking out about, well, Stanford takes a lot of threes and we don't stop threes. When the bracket came out, my fiance turned to me and she's like, where is Stanford? And I think that kind of tells you that, yeah, you're not – if you're KU, you don't lose to Stanford. Sol Self hasn't lost a first-round game in over 20 years. That's not going to happen. And then you get the potential Sweet 16 matchup with Purdue, which we've known how they've done in the NCAA tournament lately. Obviously, Zach Edey's very talented. Their guards are better than last season, but it's kind of a I'll believe it when I see it with Purdue. And with how Hunter Dickinson played at Michigan against Zach Edey, I think Kevin McCullough certainly will be back healthy by that second weekend. I think that's a KU team that with their wins over Connecticut, Tennessee, what they did earlier in the season when they were healthy, and when you have more of a turnaround or more rest you can have going to that second weekend and a shorter turnaround time, I think KU is kind of the sleeper that everybody wants to write off. I mean, I might look like a fool if Colgate goes 17 of 25 from three, but I think KU is going to beat Purdue and that the Purdue hype has gotten a little outside of the station.
Yeah, Purdue, I'm not saying that, I don't want to go back to even when they had Gene Katie, but they were there have been some moments, man, where they get tightened up a little bit. So if it was a basketball tournament bracket with toothpaste, speaking of Colgate, who would be your number one seed?
Ooh.
I would think it has to be Crest. Doesn't it have to be Crest?
I currently use Sensodyne randomly.
Right.
I guess it's the dark horse winner, but I've used Crest at times. I've used Colgate at times. I don't have a great smile, which tells you that maybe toothpaste is not the problem and that I probably should have gone to the dentist more, drink less Coke in my childhood, teenage years, and 20s. But I think, you know, gun to my head for toothpaste, I would die for Crest.
You would die for Crest.
There we go.
All right, there you go. Kendall, thank you very much, buddy. Appreciate your time. Enjoy covering the tournament. Hopefully more than just one or two games and possibly get the second weekend, which they have not done since the national championship team.
This has been a Rogue Media Network production.